Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We say hi from South Dakota this morning by welcoming South Dakota Secretary of Tourism, Jim Hagan. Hagan has served as the Secretary of Tourism for Governor Dennis Dugard since 2011. He joins us on the phone now from Pierre as we continue our look at priorities for the 2018 South Dakota legislative session. Jim Hagan, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Lori. Happy New Year. I haven't spoken with you yet in the new year, so wishing you all the best in 2018.
I always find, and thank you, and you too, and I always find it fascinating to ask in January, what are you looking at for tourism? Where are you at in the cycle of how you do things? Because sometimes it's really unexpected stuff.
Right. So, you know, it seems like our planning is year-round. It is year-round now,
right.
And we're looking so far into the future. So all of our work for 2018 is done and has been done for a couple months. And now we're looking at 2019 and 2020 and wanting to figure out new and different things that we can do, looking at different technologies. So, yeah, it's fun and it's fascinating because we're constantly looking to the future and finding ways that we can better inspire our visitors and attract them to South Dakota. So there's never a dull moment in the Department of Tourism, I can tell you that, and it's fun.
Right. What are some of those things on the horizon? Are you looking at, you know, the fact that millennials are spending their money different ways, or what sort of different technologies are you looking at? Give us a peek into the future.
Yeah, we're always looking at different segments. We have three main segments that we really look at in South Dakota. So families have always been our main audience. A second group is what we call bucket listers. So they are more of the retirement age folks who really appreciate history. They love state parks, national parks, and soft adventure. We have a new group that we added, a new audience, I should say, a couple years ago, and that is they're younger millennial couples who really are seeking outdoor adventure. That could be soft adventure or more rugged adventure in terms of rock climbing and mountain biking, those sort of things. But we're always looking to at millennials, all different sectors, but millennials in terms of what they're looking for in terms of an experience. Obviously, we know that the sharing economy, whether it be Airbnb, Uber, Lyft, those sort of things have really changed over the last couple of years, and a lot of that has been driven by millennials' wants and desires. But they're also a segment. They're interesting because they are looking for really experiential and authentic experiences in a state, and we have those in ACEs in South Dakota. So, but in some ways, millennials are also very traditional as well in terms of the things that they want to see and do. So, always looking at different behaviors and what their wants and desires are. If I can, for 2018, some things that we have coming up of note, and actually next month, the first big event are the World Archery Championships in Yankton. So I think that's February 14th through the 19th. And this is, it's unbelievable. These are the World Championships in South Dakota, in Yankton, and that will draw hundreds of competitors from around the globe. And so that's really exciting. A couple years ago, they had the World Junior Championships, and that was phenomenal. Televised, I think, by NBC Sports. This will also be televised. So that's great. We have Pheasant Fest coming to Sioux Falls, which also is next month in mid-February. That is the largest convention that Sioux Falls has ever attracted. So that'll bring tens of thousands of people to South Dakota and to Sioux Falls to learn more about pheasant hunting. And we are the pheasant capital of the world, as we know. And so what a great opportunity for us to put a spotlight on that. And then 2018 also marks the 70th anniversary of Crazy Horse Memorial. We're starting to see a lot of interest, a lot of national and global interest in Crazy Horse and telling that story with the 70th anniversary. So already a lot planned for 2018, a lot going on.
That's quite a list already there. World Archery Championships, is that outdoor, indoor? What does that look like?
It's indoor. Yeah.
It's an indoor thing.
It's indoor, and they have a beautiful facility. If you've not been to Yankton, you must stop by. It's right as you're coming in to east, heading west, the archery center there. It's just absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Great center. Beautiful grounds, but the junior championships were outdoors, but the these championships next month will be indoors.
And how do you deal with a 70th anniversary of Crazy Horse Memorial and look at, you know, something that's a staple in South Dakota tourism and in South Dakota history and culture, but then reinterpreting it or reimagining it or envisioning it to tell the stories in new ways? What are those conversations like?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I'm always amazed, Lori, because I don't think there's probably a week that goes by where I or the department doesn't receive an email from somebody, and often it's more than one email, just saying, you know, I started visiting Crazy Horse when I was a child, and there was nothing there, and I've been coming back every decade or every 5 years or so to see the progress and these people relay to us. As we grow older, we appreciate the story more of the mission that was given to Korjak, and the sacrifices that the family have made. But one thing that I'd encourage your listeners, especially if you're in South Dakota, if you've not been out to Crazy Horse in a while, say it's a number of years, really you need to get out there. They are making some really tremendous progress on that mountain. They've been able, through the last couple of years, because of the generosity of donors, purchase some really state-of-the-art equipment. I mean, it's laser equipment. They're measuring the inside of the mountain or tracking the inside of the mountain, if you can, or if you will, to measure where cracks are and things that they need to avoid. But I have noticed just tremendous progress over the last 2 years in particular. If you're looking at the hand and the arm or the finger of Crazy Horse extending, the horse's mane, the horse's head, it's an exciting time. But besides the carving, I mean, great museums with just incredible artifacts. And during the summertime, there are Native American artisans who are there who are selling their artwork from all over the country. And they have Native American dancers and just cultural offerings. It's a really special place. In fact, I just got off a phone call this morning with a group in Denver, Colorado, but they have a membership all over the United States. And I said, what's the first thing you want to do? And they said, the first thing we want to do is see Crazy Horse. We also want to see Mount Rushmore and some of the other things in the Black Hills, but we first want to see Crazy Horse. So just a lot of interest. And it's a special time, I think, for Crazy Horse.
Let's talk about the legislative session. Do you have legislative priorities this year? Do you have bills that you're looking at?
We do. We do have one bill that the department is sponsoring. It's Senate Bill 59. And with the rest area revitalization plan that was implemented over the last year, it's allowing us to offer hopefully some marketing opportunities for our partners across the state in these new welcome centers. There's a federal statute that allows states and state tourism departments to offer marketing opportunities. We actually have a state statute that doesn't quite fit with that federal statute. And so we're just asking that state statute that prevents us from offering those marketing opportunities be changed to allow us to give our partners the opportunity, whether it be through video or some static opportunities, maybe through interactive kiosks, to do some marketing in those centers. It's not a big ticket item in terms of dollars, and any money that would be raised, we would put right back into the centers. And with those new centers, we're going to have just really state-of-the-art exhibits that are just going to be incredible. They're going to tell a beautiful story of South Dakota, and we hope because of those exhibits, they'll actually inspire people to want to learn more about our state and maybe extend their stay. So that's Senate Bill 59. There's a couple other bills that we're watching. There's a bill out there. I can't remember I think it's Senate Bill 153, which actually will mandate a little bit more transparency with rates that may be charged by hotels or lodges in South Dakota. So if you're booking online and there happens to be maybe a resort fee that a particular lodging establishment charges, you'll see that up front. It won't be a hidden cost. That's something that I think is important, especially for our visitors. There was a bill introduced last week, House Bill 1206, which actually cuts our funding, gets rid of the half penny of the tourism tax, which has been so successful. So that's a bill that we'll oppose, and a number of our partners have contacted us saying, what is going on with this bill? But that'll be up in House taxation sometime soon.
All right, so House Bill 1206, and I'm sure you follow these conversations on social media as well because it's gaining a lot of traction as people are aware of it. eliminates all funding for. Explain to us the guts of this. How does it work? And you know, where does the money come from? Where does it go?
Yeah, so the half penny is, again, it's part of the penny and a half, that tourism tax that is on things like hotel rooms and motel rooms and visitor-intensive gift shops, those things, car rentals. So that provides to our department, it raises about $4.2 million. And of that $4.2 million, 2.6 of that goes to tourism. And we spend every penny of that 2.6 on marketing. So we have a number of communities that we partner with around the state. It could be Rapid City, Sioux Falls, Watertown, Pier, Yankton. We will match their funding dollar for dollar as they go out and market. So say Rapid City puts up $100,000, we'll match that $100,000 through that half penny to go out and market their area and to market the state. It's been incredibly successful statewide from large partners to small partners. Also, of that $4.2 million, it also goes and funds the South Dakota Arts Council. They receive about 22% of that $4.2 million. That's their funding. So if that half penny goes away, the South Dakota Arts Council goes away. That half penny also funds the State Historical Society's Archaeological Research Center and parts of the Cultural Heritage Museum in Pier as well. So they would have to definitely cut back on operations. But it definitely would affect our marketing in a major way, and especially with the South Dakota Arts Council, would completely eliminate their funding.
Let's talk about the South Dakota Arts Council then a little bit and give us an idea of what they do and what value they're bringing to the state in your estimation.
You know, it's incredible. So when you look at the South Dakota Arts Council, they are providing grants statewide to artists throughout the state to come into communities and to share their art, whether it be through song, through dance, through paintings. Those grants also fund artists who go into our K-12 schools and talk about the importance of arts, and these artists share their love and their art with these students to inspire them to get involved and to grow or to have a love of the arts as well, and to see that love of the arts grow. I was just thinking on Friday, I know three couples who were coming to Sioux Falls for the weekend to head to the South Dakota Symphony, and all three from out of town, but the symphony was having a special offering of some sort this weekend, and they were going to come in and spend Friday and Saturday nights and in hotel rooms, eating out, going shopping at the mall and in downtown Sioux Falls. So you just look at the ripple effect that that has throughout our communities. Just because we have the arts in this state, the impact is humongous. And so I don't know the figure offhand, but I can, you know, share it with you later, is that that $1 that is put into Arts Council funding just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies, especially as people are attending arts-related events. So it's incredibly important to the state. And we should be very proud in South Dakota. We have a very robust South Dakota Arts Council, a private entity called Arts South Dakota, and just a robust arts scene statewide. Not a lot of states can claim that, but we're just so blessed to have all these offerings statewide. So it's an important component of who we are and what we can offer not only our visitors, but our citizens as well.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with South Dakota Secretary of Tourism, Jim Hagan, and one of those artists, actually Lawrence Digg, who is on the traveling roster for the South Dakota Arts Council, will be on the program during the second hour. And right now we're talking about House Bill 1206, which is an attempt to remove the half penny sales tax, which supports tourism, and South Dakota Arts Council's entire funding would go away. So, Secretary Hagan, is it fairly common to sort of see bills like this kind of pop up every legislative session, where somebody is trying to defund the arts, or somebody's trying to, you know, tackle some of these things?
No, I wouldn't. You know, it may be in other states. We haven't seen it a lot in South Dakota. I don't, you know, and I don't know what the motivation is behind this bill. None of the sponsors, you know, contacted me or the department to let us know kind of what they were thinking. But you know, maybe they're trying to save money, or I don't know what they're, or they think they're saving money, but actually, when you look at this half penny, it's actually making money for South Dakota. There's not a lot of departments that can claim that. There's just a few. But we have shown that for every dollar we spend on marketing, we're seeing $4 returned in tax and state and local tax revenue. So this is a department that actually makes money for South Dakota. So, no, we don't often see it, Lori. And I'm grateful for that. But when bills do come up like this, it's a good opportunity for us to share the story and to remind our citizens why this funding is so important and the impact that tourism and the arts do have on South Dakota. So I don't mind that the bill comes up. Again, I look at it as an opportunity for us to educate and to, again, put a spotlight on the importance of why we need it.
Certainly on social media, many people have been, you know, popping up and sharing individual stories. And it makes you wonder if we should be sharing those stories all the time and really reaching out to our lawmakers all the time about the things that we value or the experiences that we have, you know, visiting Crazy Horse or visiting the symphony.
Yeah, it's a really good reminder.
Yeah. Wondering, do we all need to just be more involved in that? And that's kind of part of what you're talking about all the time. It seems like every time I've talked to you is, you know, telling people, keep sharing the story, keep sort of talking about who we are as a state to visitors and friends and family.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I can't, I just can't stress enough just how important this industry, and when I talk not only tourism, but arts as well and history as well, just how important it is to our economy. Just some top of the line numbers that we just released a couple, you know, 2 weeks ago during the governor's conference on tourism, but 14 million visitors in 2017, they spent $3.88 billion, almost $4 billion spent by our visitors in 2017. That was an increase of 1.2% over 2016. It contributes to the state's gross domestic product, and it contributes $2.6 billion. That was an increase of over 3% from 2016. I already shared with your listeners that for every dollar that we spend in marketing, we see $4 returned in state and local tax revenue. That generates $291 million. That's about 15% of all state and local tax revenue. We're almost 54,000 South Dakotans are employed in the tourism industry. That's almost 9% of all jobs in South Dakota. And without the industry, without tourism and the arts, every household in the state would pay about $871 more in taxes. So the impact is absolutely significant, especially when you look at that employment number of almost 54,000 and the impact it has on our gross domestic product. It's a huge driving factor in our economy.
Secretary Hagan, always a pleasure. Any final thoughts that you want to leave us with today? Anything I forgot to ask you?
Well, no, I appreciate you having us on, Lori. Definitely always appreciate you putting a spotlight on tourism and the arts. And I just encourage all South Dakotans and even those outside of our borders who are listening to the program today to get out and explore our state. We are so wonderfully blessed to live here because we have so much to offer all age groups. And we just want to encourage you to take advantage of what we have in our backyard.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you.